Here we go.
Here we are. Are we going to say it together again? Do you want to do that again? Are we going to get it?
Let's Welcome try to it. Motherland. Okay.
All right, go ahead. 1, 2, 3.
Welcome to Motherland.
Nika.
We're going to do this every single time. We're going to try.
Okay, we'll get it. We'll get it. It'll happen one day.
We'll put a script across the screen so we each read it and like the ball bounces, then we can read it.
Okay.
All right. Welcome, guys. Let's talk about spiritual bypassing.
Oh, yes.
Melanie got the card deck. Pull the card, Mel.
Are you pulling a card? Pull a card.
All right. From the top. Ooh, blessing in disguise. Let's talk about that throughout. Right? What seems to be a problem is actually part of our prayers. Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
I love that. Okay.
Perspective for everyone today. If you think everything's going to shit, it's for a reason. And there will be a rainbow soon enough.
Yeah.
Good one.
That's the toxic positivity.
Exactly. Like, that's our point.
So welcome to Motherland, everybody. This is Onika.
I'm Melanie.
And Isabel.
We're happy to be with you again this week. And this week we're talking about spiritual bypassing and toxic positivity. Two topics that I think I'm excited to be talking about with both Mel and Isabel, because I think as BIPOC women, we have been sort of handed a lot of this on our journeys. Speaking a lot for myself, but I'm excited to hear what Melanie and Isabel have to say. But I wanted to just say and give a definition to spiritual bypassing, because it's a buzzword. Like, I was just on Instagram yesterday seeing a course somewhere, like, let's talk about spiritual bypassing. And a lot of people say it, but I don't know if everybody out there knows what it is. So I wanted to actually let folks know that there's a real definition. Like, this is a thing. This isn't just something we've kind of made up. So spiritual bypassing is defined as using one's spirituality to avoid facing unresolved issues, either on a personal, interpersonal, or systemic level. And the term was made popular in the 1980s by the late John Wellwood, a Buddhist teacher and psychotherapist who observed the phenomenon in his own spiritual community. So it's this idea that, you know, we use our practices as a way to avoid talking about what's really happening. And we get like caught up just in sort of the softness of life. And I think specifically for me, I saw a lot of this in the yoga world. And I mentioned this last week when we were talking, how when I brought up issues that were happening around race or homophobia, I was told to essentially shut up. And the things that I were thinking, I wasn't being a good yogi because I was talking about my real life experiences. And why wasn't I leaning into the practice to separate myself from my own physical identity? Mm-hmm. And when you're Black, when you're a woman, when you're queer, when you're brown, you don't have that luxury. So I call bullshit on that. And that's one of the things that we're talking about. So
she called bullshit, mama. Hang up.
We did, me and Mel actually did a podcast together on spiritual bypassing. I was looking it up, and that was in October on my whatever other
of 2022.
Yeah. And I remember telling Mel that the understanding of spiritual bypassing, even though like I know that it came out the term in the 1980s or something like that, we though just recently became more popular, like you're saying, the term and the hearing the wording of it. But what was really interesting, and I remember saying this to Mel, is when me and Mel stepped into this line of work, spirituality was spiritual bypassing. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Like there wasn't a balance. Like that's exactly what we came in as, was in spiritual bypassing. Mm-hmm. And so it's been really interesting, right? Like we kind of mentioned it when I mentioned it last week, was like how now we're, you know, de-assimilating, if that's even a word, I think it is, of, you know, out of like what we were raised in or what we thought spirituality mm-hmm. was, and coming into yeah. like saying, okay, wait, we got to recreate, you know, in and kind of step into
how we teach
exactly that. What it is. Yeah. But spirituality is definitely, I know we're going to talk about it more today, is definitely a balance between light and dark. You need both. You can't have the light without the darkness, mm-hmm. you know, especially mm-hmm. as a shadow coach. I'm all about like, let's not bullshit. Let's pull it in. Let's like get to the root of it, of everything, right? It's not rainbows and roses and all of that all the time. That's not, there's no way anyone, that's just avoidance. That's just avoidance.
Yes.
Yep.
And I want to even say too, about even the terms light and dark. Like, I think when we're talking from a lens of us, right? Mm-hmm. BIPOC women. We know what we're saying when we say light and dark.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of folks out there when we're talking about dominant culture and colonization that happened over spiritual practices. And like real talk when it comes to spirituality and when it was appropriated by, I think a lot of white culture, that it was appropriated as a way to squash indigenous voices yep. from connecting with their culture and their heritage, both on any continent, right? And when I say indigenous, I'm talking about people indigenous to wherever they're from. When colonizers came, it was really squashing traditional practices that were empowering, because if people had their own voices, they'd be able to sort of really collectively get together and push all of that out. So when we hear things like, when you hear dominant culture say things like light and dark, light is sort of equated to white, which is good, and dark is equated to black, which is bad. And ooh. There's this sense of blackness being bad. You know, we can even go back to the Bible, right? You know, sons of Ham being black and dark. Like all of these things have been used as a way to, I think, systemically oppress people. Like, yeah. I'm just going to say it. And so I think by us having this conversation and reclaiming, right? Because these words were ours to begin with. Reclaiming this sense of light and dark. Light is no better than dark, and dark is not bad, right? We put yeah. these judgments on them, and I don't think those judgments came from us. Darkness is powerful. We sleep in darkness. We heal in darkness. Mm. We need that rest. When you're talking about darkness, you know, in traditional Chinese medicine, you're talking about yin, you're talking about heaviness and dampness, which is needed for things yeah. to grow. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I'm sorry. I went on a little tangent there.
No, that was excellent.
It just makes me, it's very frustrating. And I think those kinds of, when it was co-opted and that kind of messaging was out there, like, I think it makes people not want to explore because they don't want to be associated with darkness or bad. Like, dark is bad. You know, I mean, even if you're talking about colorism, you know, in my community, like, if you're light, you're all right. If you're brown, stick around. If you're black, stay back. So that kind of messaging does sort of get woven throughout all sorts of things, even spirituality. So,
yeah, I was doing a paper. I'm in school, guys. So for those listeners who are like, what? Like, I'm still taking extra classes. And it was my ethnic studies class. And we were learning last week about slavery in, like, where did slavery become a race issue? Like, where did it become a race issue and not, like, other issues, right? And so one of the things that it was saying, and I'm just listening to you and I'm hearing this because I, you know, the separation of light and dark, they were like, the reasons that they went black as the slaves was because Europeans didn't want to enslave Europeans. And because technically mm-hmm. Christians couldn't enslave Christians. Well, how do you mark mm-hmm. a Christian? By their skin color. So the only way you exactly. can separate who was a Christian or not was by the color of their skin. Therefore, that's when slavery became a race. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, okay. because before it wasn't, there was times where like there way back when it wasn't a race issue. You know, there was servants that were all sorts of colors and all, it was basically a whole nother thing, but it's interesting. So I'm thinking of that. And I remember thinking this a couple of weeks ago, because as I've been studying it, right, and we're going back into looking at like just the cultures and the way the Spaniards came in or the way the Europeans came in and all these different things that happened, watching the cultures leave, you know, watching how they're like, you can't do this. You have to, you know, have you have to be Catholic. Can't say the word. Sorry.
Yeah. Also,
you know, but yeah. Like all these things, like you have to follow these rules. We're going to build these missions. You have to do all of this stuff. And I was thinking that the other day in relation to our spirituality of like, well, where did this cross the line? Right. And so here's my thing. And I'm going to go there. Is that I realized it became a thing when the market and the money became a thing. When they realized that the money was in spirituality. Since the money was in spirituality, let me become the trendsetter and let me market as mine, right? Which there goes for spiritual bypassing, because as we understand, I don't know, I'm going to assume you guys are on the same page, is that you can't erase things. You can't take just, I'm going to take a little bit of this. I'm going to take a little bit of that. And I'm going to make it into this, you know, perfect story that can be sellable to tons of people and can be marketed. Nobody wants to market, which they need to be. I mean, hi, I'm a shadow coach, but like nobody wants to market like the darkness. Nobody wants to market, you know, the pain. But there's beauty in pain, right? There's beauty in grief. There's beauty in these things, because on the other side of that is so much, like so much you can learn. Mm-hmm.
And I think by talking about it through that lens, Isabel, I think it's really important, because by you talking about it through the lens of a Mexican woman, you can say that. But when you put whiteness on top of it, the language becomes different. And so I think it's really important for our listeners out there who are white. I encourage you to like do your homework around this, because you want to be careful how you're saying certain things in this world, especially with your audiences. And I can speak to some of my own experiences when I was, you know, in certain yoga spaces and in certain meditation spaces. I remember during my meditation teacher training, I got really frustrated, because it was right around, even though I'd been teaching meditation for years, I finally broke down and did a training several years ago. We were talking about Trump, and somebody was asking, well, should you bring politics into your Sangha or the Dharma when you're teaching, right? Like when you, you know, meditation, we call it taking the teacher's seat. So when you're taking the teacher's seat, you know, is it appropriate to bring politics in? And right away, like my hackles kind of went up, because I was thinking, what do they mean by that? But what they were talking about is this whole idea of talking about race, talking about issues of the LGBTQ community, talking about sexism or things that affect marginalized communities. And I got really upset, because I was like, what you're calling political, I call Tuesday, right? Because just being in my body, right? Being in my body is political. Walking outside, you know, I used to say things like, oh, I can't walk outside without thinking about who I am physically because of my race and because I'm queer and all those things. And the only place I feel safe that was at home until Breonna Taylor, right? So I'm not even safe in my own bed. Mm-hmm. So to not bring who I am and my life experiences, aside from the fact, P.S., that I'm academically trained in a lot of this stuff. like when, if I don't bring that to the teacher's seat, I'm not teaching authentically.
Right. Right. You're like, so you're going to get all of it from me. That's basically your answer.
And it's not something that should be erased, because if we're talking about spirituality and oneness and interconnectedness, my experience, your experience is a part of our spiritual experience in this 3D reality. So we have to talk about it in order to transcend it.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel that deep.
Yeah.
I almost get very mute with shit like this, because it pisses me off so much, to be honest. And I'm just like, I used to have an old belief system within me, like, they're not listening anyway, so fuck it. Honestly. Oh, and now I'm like, okay, yeah. we need to tell them and educate the people, right? Like, because some people want to know, right? So, ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you guys said it well when you were talking about what does it mean? And, you know, I think that's the thing, Mel, like in what you said, like I used to go mute in when people are talking about this, but, you know, spiritual bypassing really does prevent people from acknowledging what you are really feeling. And it creates, like you said, that separation. So even in you going like, I'm going mute, it's like, we're not acknowledging what's coming up. We're not bringing it up to the surface. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's powerful. And I think my voice feels so strong and solid now because I used to not say anything, right? Yep. We've all had that experience when we were in predominantly white, you know, situations where being different was something that we desperately didn't want to be. And I just say that because I know the stories that we've all talked about. Yeah. And I think when I stepped into when I stepped on a spiritual path, it actually felt like a place where I could be myself. Mm-hmm. And it felt really safe until I went into particular communities and then it felt unsafe again. And I talked about this last week. So I sort of like drew myself back, which is why I was so always looking for Black and brown people who were interested in the things that I was interested in, because it felt really, it felt safe. And I'm not alone, because we need each other. We need people. Totally. We aren't supposed to spend this life like in isolation. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I met one of my spiritual brothers, Itasie, we had like hours long conversations about this and just how grateful I was to meet, you know, a Black man who was on this path as well, who felt like a brother. It was just really powerful. And I'm grateful that so many more Black and brown people are having these kinds of conversations and we're starting to get connected.
Oh, it's such
I'm glad like I found you too.
Ditto. Yeah, I remember watching Itasie on your TV show, and there you guys did like a ceremony on like scream release or something.
The rage ceremony. Yeah.
Yes. The rage ceremony. And I started crying when I watched it, because he was screaming like, I will not, or was it a water ceremony?
No, it was the rage ceremony.
The rage ceremony. And he was like, I will not be quiet in my backyard. Like, and I was like, I get what you're saying.
he used to perform ceremony in his backyard, and his neighbors were always always complaining, and he felt like it was just definitely this way to try to silence him. And you find that, right? You find that dominant culture does try to find ways to silence. And I think some of it is rooted in history and systemic oppression. And then I think it sort of just keeps snowballing, and it moves from people's unconscious. Like, we have all of these ideas that are in our unconscious, and we embody it too, which is why we have to decolonize ourselves. Like, you know, racism isn't just for white people. Anti-Blackness isn't just for white people. Anti-brownness isn't just for white people. We embody it. So these practices were useful for me to help myself get reconnected and to shed that shame. Like, going back to the darkness with what Isabel was saying, like, shame is a useful emotion. Darkness is a useful thing to understand. It keeps us safe. It helps us, like, it helps us heal. It's a necessary practice. And I think in the society, we've just gotten so afraid to say that anything is work. Everything is just supposed to be shiny and happy and easy and fun and instant gratification. And shit, life just isn't that.
Not at all. Not at all. And I hate that. It's going to be okay. Just breathe. Don't cry. Here's a crystal. Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. Well, this is a thing. And I was like thinking about this because I remember hearing this before, right? And you guys can all agree, I'm sure. You know, like we said, with spiritual bypassing and it being a thing of avoidance, because you're avoiding, you know, your emotional issues, you're avoiding your mental issues, you're just avoiding altogether everything that maybe you still, not maybe, but you still need to heal, right?
Yeah.
And it makes in, like, Onika, when you said toxic positivity, and the crystal made me think of it, right? The whole thing of just like, you know, imagine the light and just breathe it in. Just breathe in that light, you know, only this, like surrounded in light. And don't get me wrong. I say it too, because there is a right way of like surrounding things in light. Like
totally.
Like,
yes, like, there is. Absolutely. I say it too.
Right. Mm-hmm. But not for avoidance purposes, right? Not for avoidance purposes. And so that's where it's like making sure you're catching the wording. And I think the thing is, as for our listeners, is that pay attention to what practices you're practicing, pay attention to what you're doing, and how easily that we have learned certain things in the spirituality world of like these sayings and the way we do things and how you're avoiding. If you are avoiding something, right? Like if something is continuously coming up, spirit has a way of working where it will bring your lesson over and over and over again until you're like, oh my gosh, like what the hell is going on? Pay attention. Don't freaking put, you know, I'm going to whatever, lay all the crystals on this and white light it and just avoid it. Like it doesn't erase it. Yeah. It doesn't erase it. And honestly,
say it one more time for the people in the back.
For real though.
Because it actually spiritual bypassing tends to harm us more. It really does harm you. And it's not, you know, it's just, I don't know. I know people do it in a way that I think so many people in this world are doing it without realizing they're doing it. And that's totally the thing, because that's their symbolism of spirituality. Like their symbolism of spirituality, like we said, Mel, earlier, it's like, is spiritual bypassing. They don't know the difference. And I'm not here to make,
right.
That's why, Onika, you're like, do your research, learn it, study it. But like, they don't know the difference. So I think, right. Mel, asking you, like, what is, because I think you'd be really, really great at answering this, like, what is ways that people can acknowledge that they're doing this?
Toxic positivity. So there was one time a old friend, she was like, we were taking a road trip. She's like, yo, I'm riding with Mel's car because she's protected. Right. And that's like, oh, that's a sweet compliment. But when I really broke that down, I was like, well, no. She's like, oh, you know, angels just guide your car. I'm like, yeah, but if we're supposed to be in a car accident, we're getting in a car accident. That's just a simple, you know, example. And it was like, just because you are spiritual doesn't mean nothing bad will happen to you. Mm-hmm. Not at all, actually. And I talked to her about it in the car. and we didn't get in a car accident. But she was like, oh, I didn't even realize I said that. Right? And that's how it came off. Mm-hmm. But she's like, I meant like, you know, I just feel safe around you. I'm like, okay, say it like that. Versus, oh, I'm in Mel's car. We're safe and protected. Fuck all y'all. You know what I'm saying? Like that's straight bypassing. Mm-hmm. And what has really been current in my life is there. I have a lot of extended family who have just stepped into Christianity, I would say 5 years ago, in their 50s and 60s. And that's cool. But every time they hear about my stories now through like my mom talking about like healing stuff I do, they leave the table. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, fuck you, because I've been Catholic since I was born and spiritual since I was born. Like, you're not listening. That makes sense. Like that I'm a Christian. I have the answers. I'm spiritual. I have all the answers. That's what I've been actually sitting with in the past 3 months. And I'm just like, I guess being spiritual, it's the saying of we all believe in the same thing, different styles. And I think that's what I'm trying to crush within my own practice with my clients. Like, yo, we can't bypass anymore. Let's get down to the nitty gritty and look at what spirituality really means, which is that oneness, and be very conscious and aware of how we are wording things and making sure every time something comes up, like shadow, like things we haven't looked at, we address it now. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to teach people how not to avoid at this point and be like, that's what was, what you were doing was bypassing. Does that make any sense? It's hard for me to speak it.
No, you made sense. And you made a good point right now, because I'm listening to you and I'm listening to like the Christianity part of it. And I've been there, like, you know, believe in you guys, first off, listeners, like if you're believe what you're gonna believe, we're not here to like sway you in any way. I don't believe there's a right way or a right way of anything with that. Mm-hmm. But I say this in the sense that spiritual bypassing doesn't necessarily just have to happen in the quote spiritual world. It happens in the quote spiritual world of like Christianity, Catholic, whatever the religion it is, right? Because, you know, I know from our point, right? Like we say, spiritual bypassing a term or spiritual bypassing another term that you guys might hear is rising above the emotions. Rise above the emotions. Mm-hmm. Anika's pointing like that right there.
But yes, I'm sorry. For those of you who aren't watching, I'm pointing. I'm like that part. My hand's real close. That part.
Here's the thing. How many times have you heard a Christian say, or Catholic or somebody else, pray? The prayer part of it, right? Mm-hmm. And rising above. Right? Rising mm-hmm. above with prayers or the Jesus or God comment of rising above. And it's like, still not doing your work.
Yeah, yeah.
Still not doing your work. Well, however you want to put this on, however you want to put the icing on the cake, you still haven't got to the middle of the cake.
Yes. Or like when something happens and people are like, I'm sending thoughts and prayers. I'm like, okay, but can you send money and support?
Like, no, for real,
like that part.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, and I think it's really important that, yes, we can be grounded and have a sense of connectedness with the divine and the divinity in each other. And if we truly are that, if we really are spiritual, it means that we have to accept that people suffer. You know, a few years ago, I did a talk on there's a mantra, loka samasta sukhino bhavantu, which means in Sanskrit, may all beings everywhere be happy and free. Mm. And it's, you know, it's something that you learn when, you know, you study yoga. And everybody says it, right? Everybody says it. May all beings everywhere be happy and free. And people say it as a way to sort of just bypass. If I say this, I don't really have to do anything else because I want everybody to be happy and free. But the truth is that the phrase itself implies that some people aren't free, because if everybody was free, we wouldn't have to say it. There wouldn't be a saying about it. Wow. So to say that, you have to do something. And I truly believe that. I believe that spiritual activism is inherent in spirituality, mm-hmm. because if you recognize that people are suffering and people are sad and you're connected to them, you have to do something. And I'm not talking about you need to go out in the streets and protest and do all this stuff, but to Mel and Isabel, both of your points of doing your work is the way that you can show up as an activist in the world. Yeah. Like, you just look at your own shit. And when you do, you make different choices.
Yep.
And then if you don't, to Isabel's point, it is going to keep coming up. So you'll have to deal with it.
Yep.
But as long as you keep looking at yourself and don't use these practices as a way to just float above everything or to ignore harm that is happening to other people, or navel gaze, which happens a lot in like Buddhism and other contemplative practices. You just look at your own self so much that there's nothing else that you can see but your own suffering and your own shit. I think that's the other way too.
I can't
deal with you because I'm trying to go through my own stuff.
Yep.
So
I feel you.
It's messy.
Here's something that I realized over the years in my own personal practice, being who I am, right? In my Reiki room practice, besides being an energy healer, I'm an oracle. Like, I can see prophecy. I can see people's future maps, if you will. And so when I started this practice in 2011, I didn't know what I was doing. Right? I just started helping. But I realized I started to have a reputation of go to Mel. She has all the answers. Just go to Mel, right? I didn't realize I was doing that. I was just showing people what I saw. And all of a sudden, I created this entire huge following, though, who were not doing the work. I was like, uh-oh.
Now Isabel's pointing.
Yeah, but it has a good ending, right? So people kept coming to me, and things would hit, right? Things would hit. Everything I've seen in the future would hit. And then, like, you know, 6 months in, they're like, shit's not hitting. And I know you got to do the healing work, right? And the Reiki helps, right, to clear the space, but there's got to be that deep shadow work. So I always tell people, you will find that my practice is I'm the guidance counselor. I hear you. I see you. I tell you what's in your future if you choose this major, right? In quotations. And then you got to go to an Isabel or my friend Nikki, someone who's going to pull this shit out of you from your root, right? If you want this future to happen, you've got to do the work. Right. And it's been kind of cool to watch people go back and forth to Isabel or to other shadow coaches and then come back to me and we can keep reviewing your future. Right. Because the truth is we co-create with the universe. Right. But I'm guilty of teaching spiritual bypassing without knowing.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit. Oops.
I don't think we knew. Like, that's the thing. Like, I think we didn't
know. I didn't know.
We just did what we did. And I'm saying we, cause I, you know, I read people also, and I actually took this month off of doing intuitive readings just because of the fact that I was like the same exact thing, what you're saying. I'm like, if you guys want to show up for a reading, you're going to have to do the energy clearing. I will read after the clearing. Cause I'm like, I'm cutting it. I'm removing it. I'm basically going to do a coaching thing in there. You know, we're going to do some readings, but it's like my package of clearings is like readings, clearings, coaching. That's what's in that whole little mini session.
Yeah. And then do the homework, right?
Yeah. I want people to do the work. And here's the beauty part. I love this. When you read people, Mel, and you send them to me and I do shadow work, right? They're like, well, Mal said this was right. They freaking follow Mal like a Bible. Mal said this is going to happen at this time. And Mal said, and I'm like, yeah, but the beauty part is you're doing the work. So guess what? You're shifting the timeline. So now that you're showing up for yourself, yes. It's not 5 years later. It's literally this year, a couple months, maybe showing up, you know? And I'm like, Mal's reading the timeline of you not showing up, not you not doing the work. And then we're shifting it when you actually start acknowledging the stuff. And when you start doing what you need to do, when you start showing up. So anyways,
can you both talk about, for people who are listening, who might be newer to all of this, what shadow work is? What is a shadow? How do you clear it?
I knew she was going to say that. I love you. I love.
I know, right? I'm the one who's like, let's. We need to make sure. Let's let everybody know what we're talking about.
Yeah. So I love the fact that you started this whole thing with like the whole where does spiritual bypassing start, right? And so, like you said, spiritual bypassing was a psychological term, right? Deemed in the 1980s, and it's the same thing with shadow work, right? You guys, come on, like this is the stuff I love, freaking science, and I love when I can put spirituality and science together. And be like, tell me it's wrong. Like I freaking love, I love it, right? And I'm going to totally butcher Hung's name, but spirituality was termed by, I say Carl Jung, but I think it's Carl Hung. I forget how you say it. J-U-N-G.
Jung.
Jung.
No, Jung.
It's thank you.
Jung. I actually heard it. Jung.
Jung. So Carl is the one that termed shadow work or shadow self. He actually called it shadow self. Okay. And the shadow self is what you remains private. It's what remains hidden, right? It's the traits that people do not like to show. This is usually the negative or the shameful traits. And this can actually come from a lot of different ways in your life. A lot of people focus your shadow work or your shadow self based on inner child quote healing, but that doesn't necessarily mean it has to be child work. This can happen at any point in any time of your life that you felt shame, that you felt trauma, that somebody told you you can't be who you're naturally to be, right? How many times are we told that we're too loud or a little child shows their artwork and somebody says, oh, you need to add a little bit more of this or that's not beautiful, right? So you take these perceptions that everybody's put onto you and your own truth goes in the shadows. Your own truth goes in the shadows. Then you turn 30, 40 years old and you're like, why am I struggling to find my voice? Why am I struggling to show up in my truth even though I know it and I want to show it? Why am I, you know, afraid of love? Why do I have these issues of success? Why do I, all these different fears start to come up because you can't hide the shadow. It's like, you can only put so much in the storage before that like Tupperware bin is full and then it's popping up. So, right. It's coming up to the surface. So the goal of shadow work is basically to bring together, okay, both that person, you, and the shadow, right? So you bring it together, which the shadow is you. So it's bringing the part of you and this and merging them as a whole into you. So you're confronting those parts of your personality that you usually avoid. And you're now saying, I got you. I got you. Come in, make yourself feel whole. You are the healer in this work. You are showing up for yourself and you are the one learning how to listen to yourself again, trust yourself, acknowledge yourself, and heal yourself.
Yes.
So powerful, because what you don't realize is when you open up that Tupperware bin and you're letting that shadow free, look at how much space you created. All that part you let go and you created so that you can be the fullest and truest extent of yourself. And it's amazing. Like, I'm sorry, this work lights me up. It is amazing watching people like find their voice, make the leaps in their career, make the leaps in relationships, because now they're like, I'm not holding back. And if you don't like yep. it, like, forget you. Like, I don't have to stay here to prove my worth to you. Yes. I don't have to stay here to conform to what it is. I don't have to be a part of this. I have a choice. Like, that is mind blowing. Like, and I say this even bringing us mm-hmm. back to like spirituality, spiritual bypassing and toxic positivity. Like, the fact that people don't realize, like, wait a second, I have a choice. Like, mm-hmm. I can choose otherwise.
Oh,
bro.
I love that. That part, what you just said, I can choose otherwise, because we don't often think that we can.
Yeah. Yeah. We're like, oh,
yeah.
We don't realize that.
Yeah. We don't.
That was powerful. You know, when I see people in Reiki sessions, when I used to be in person, start crying or get angry on the table, I'm like, good. That's movement of the shadow too, energetically. And I'm so interested to hear through Onika, because she holds a lot of space in classes, like yoga classes. Have you seen people shift right before your eyes, like with a burst of emotions like that?
Yes. Yeah. I have seen that. And I've seen it at, I saw it at Rikers a lot too. Wow. And even in meditations, because I, as a meditation teacher, I talk about the shadow, but I talk about it from a different lens of wholeness and embracing the totality of our experience. And like, people push down or push away things that end up pushing back. And the way that Isabel talks about like the Tupperware, I talk about a corset, that when we are pushing away things, we end up feeling really tight around our waist and we can't breathe. And why breath work becomes really important, because we end up energetically holding all of this stuff in and we can't take a breath. And then we do stuff like reverse breathing, right? Mm-hmm. So when we inhale and exhale, when we inhale, we should feel really full, right? Mm-hmm. And then as we exhale, we squeeze everything out. But in reverse breathing, when you take a breath in, your diaphragm goes out. And then when you exhale, it squeezes in, which causes anxiety. Yeah. So I have actually seen, I actually just did this at a workshop last week. I was talking about some techniques to help facilitate relaxation. And I was talking about, does everybody know how we breathe? And I did a couple of exercises and I could actually see some people reverse breathing, and they actually identified that they were reverse breathing. Mm-hmm. So then we talked about the mechanics of breathing, and you could see the eyes like, oh, like that moment of, oh my gosh, I've been doing this wrong my entire life. And the sense of relief, it's so powerful. Right. And I feel like that's just the beginning. Like, I feel like lots of times I deal with like physical sensations that go into energetic sensations. Yep. And then you two almost deal with like the past life part of that too.
Right.
And like a combination of past stuff and then physical stuff that's happening in the now, which if people can embrace, that helps them sort of step on a path to their future whole.
Yep.
Right. And,
yep.
and with eyes wide open.
Ooh, right. That's it. Eyes wide open. Like being so aware. Because I use that. Everyone's going to know our symbols. But when I think of shadow coming into the light or coming back to self, it's like a volcano. And people are like, well, I don't want to erupt. That's going to hurt everyone. Right. I'm like, no, but what you don't understand is when the lava hits, you extend the land, you expand the land. So you're actually creating more space mm-hmm. for all the things you want. And it's like, oh shit. Right. And every time I'm channeling, because, you know, again, channeling is through me. It's not my opinion. It's not my voice. Right. I learned that shit too. I'm like, oh yeah, reminders. mm-hmm. So this is a big one for the spiritual, just the believer community, bypassing and toxic positivity. Can you guys give examples of toxic positivity? Because I just want to hear the ones you've heard before.
I want to say something really quick though, before we go to the toxic positivity part, just really quick.
Yeah.
you made a comment, Onika, about people doing like breath works and people doing this stuff. And it just was clicking on me when I was thinking about spiritual bypassing in some sense of how many times, all right, I want to hear it from you guys. How many times have you seen a healer keep showing the tears, keep showing the mess, keep showing the pain, keep doing this, all these, you guys are, Anika's laughing, Mel's shaking her head. Like, how many times have you shown the healers that are like, where you're watching them like, girl, aren't you better yet? Like, aren't you okay?
What's all that about?
Okay. That to me is like, I'm putting this in a spiritual bypassing container. Okay. I'm going to put it in there.
Yes.
Because I'm like, you ain't doing the work. Like, this is my trigger. Mm-hmm. This is my trigger. There was somebody not too long ago. I'm going to be honest. She's an old friend of mine. I'm not going to call her name out. Right. And she's always posting videos of her like crying and her like, I just had a healing session and 2 days later, I'm a mess because all this stuff is purging. And I'm like, that's beautiful. That does actually happen, guys. Like that happens. But it's consistently like all the time. And she's a healer. Like this is her business, right? So I actually, you know me, if you guys know me, my mouth don't stay shut very long. So Mel's laughing. As she said last podcast, you just say things. I was like, I sent her a DM and I was like, can we talk about this? Because
girl, you okay?
Yeah. I was like, look at, you're constantly pushing this out. And I know it's like easier said than done. I'm like literally looking at the text right now. And it's like, but I also find that as you continue on this journey, that like these things that you struggle with, like they don't cause pain anymore, right? They don't hold the same energy that, and like you guys, like, come on, like, are you not doing your work? Are you not showing up? You know? Mm-hmm. Because I was like, I think, you know, what did I put? I put like, do you, because you pain don't necessarily hold the same energy because you have evolved to a different level of growth or a different perspective. I don't know, just asking, a little concerned about you. And she literally was like, I know it's work. I know it's progress, but I want to show people the reality of healing so they know what to expect if it resonates. And I'm like, why not show them healing? And then why not show them the other side of it? Why do we have like to focus on the pain? Why? Why do we have to focus on the pain?
Trauma porn, because people like trauma porn.
Yes.
And people think like, well, if she's really suffering, then she must be really doing something. And I think that I also, that's just as harmful. I think that is a form of bypassing.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
It's bypassing and capitalism because it's a way to get people to suck them in and to getting services because they see something that looks quote unquote real. And I think it's very problematic. And you see that in various forms, in all kinds of practices and the work that you both do. You see it in the yoga world, you know, aspects of that. You see it even in the meditation world. Yeah. I think it's when you mix toxic positivity, I think in capitalism is when you combine those things, it's a problem. Right. Yep. It's a real problem. Right. And I think it causes a lot of harm. And we see it. We see it all over the place.
I get really upset about it. I think more that way than I do in the other way, because I think right now that you're going to see more of the pain and the people trying to like bring that up than we're seeing necessarily of the toxic positivity. Because I can say off of my time that like I go back a couple of years and we'll talk about what toxic positivity looks like right now. But toxic positivity was big for me coming up in the spiritual world. But I feel now that spirituality has been more spoken about and you see it more, like people now are like, how many times have you looked at a YouTube or you've seen commercials for retreats and somebody's just like, oh, right? They're like pouring their heart out and they're crying, like mouths making faces. Like, that's what's selling. That's the point that people are like, oh, like, right? Like, oh, I had such like, Mel's cracking up. But am I right?
Yeah, it's true.
I see some people though who are so wholehearted, like truly healing, and it just sucks for them that all the other ones are fakers, right? And it's making them look bad. And to the listener, it just pisses me off as a healer, a true healer, because there's a lot of us who are honest out there. You know what I mean? It's like, fuck, stop doing that shit. Stop it.
Yeah. No, you're right. And I think
it happens in so many aspects because things come in cycles, right? Things,
right.
You know, like in the 60s, there were, you know, flower children and that yeah. sort of thing and free love and blah, blah. You know, it shows up in sort of, you know, ebbs and flows. And, you know, I think the 90s and early 2000s were full of a lot of toxic positivity. And by that, we mean this sense of not wanting to acknowledge anything uncomfortable.
Totally.
And I'll give you an example that I wrote an article about this a few years ago. I went to Philando Castile was a black man who was killed by police with his partner and his child in the car. He was shot. And this comes off of the heels of Mike Brown and a whole bunch of other, you know, another summer of black men being killed. And I had just heard about Philando Castile, and I was just so upset and just so sick and tired of being sick and tired. I went to my local yoga studio at the time to take a class to just move my body and feel better. So, yeah. And I was just doing that for me. I wasn't out to have a conversation with anybody. I just needed to go, you know, move my shit around and move it yep. up and out. So, sat down in the class, and I knew the teacher, and as we got started, she started talking about when we get bad feelings and we don't have to have those bad feelings because all we need to do is turn that bad feeling into a good feeling and just and everything will be better. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but it might have even been worse than that. And I remember I hate to use the word triggered because it's also another overused word, but I felt very angry. I'll say that. I felt very angry because I wasn't expecting anybody to acknowledge Philando Castile or what was happening. I wasn't, but I got frustrated because I was going into a space with an experienced teacher to just do my yoga, to do my practice physically. And I was confronted with this idea that what I was thinking about what was happening was somehow incorrect or harmful. And I just needed to turn that frown upside down and then everything would be right with the world. And that's what toxic positivity is right there. It's this idea of telling somebody what they're feeling because it's feeling negative is wrong and they're wrong because they think that way. And we can only have good feelings, good vibes only, love and light, all of those things. And I remember being really frustrated. And it was those kinds of things that would make me sort of pull back from yoga land and meditation world because, you know, it just felt like that's always what I was confronted with. So that is my example of a lived experience of toxic positivity.
Wow. That's a good one.
Yeah. I think you made, those were like two big ones, dismissing your emotions, feeling guilty for your emotions. Like, I mean, you guys need emotions to heal. We need it in order to like make our awareness, right? Emotions, energy and motion. Right? Energy in motion. I don't know, like, what would I say are traits of toxic positivity? This one kind of mix in with, I'm listening to my guides right now, and I'm like, I'm kind of having my own debate in my head right now. If you guys see my eyes are closed, I'm like, I don't want to go there. And they're like, I'll go there. And I'm like, here's the thing. One of the ones that I think is between toxic positivity and is also in between bypassing, because these are very intermixed, right, is the gratitude practice, right? Is gratitude practice. I think gratitude practice is amazing. And I think it's great. And it's a way of, if you're doing it in a way of like, I'm shifting my mindset, because I definitely bring it into shadow work, you know, shifting my mindset, a way of like healing. But it also can be a way of like dismissing. It can also be a way of not validating yourself, right? So Anika's agreeing right now. She's like agreeing. So I'm just saying, like, I'm just looking at that a little bit, right? And I've seen it. I've heard it used in other ways, like where you're like, again, it's bringing in, you know, we're just going to focus and have gratitude on this, you know, with happiness and bubbly and like, oh, I'm so, yep. So there can definitely be a sense of that, right? Where you're not maybe like, acknowledging your fear, or you're not necessarily acknowledging your sadness, or you're not necessarily acknowledging your worries. Like, that is not okay. Like, I'm going to focus and be grateful for this, but I'm going to dismiss this, this, and this. And that's where it's like, yeah. No, like you guys can't dismiss. So that is one, you know, and I think of another one where I think of, how do you guys want to say it? Toxic positivity. Sorry, I can't think when I like hear spirit, by the way, guys. So if you ever hear me stumbling, like spirit comes in and I
got you.
Focus. Okay. Is this one? I don't know if you necessarily would be right. There's two. One, everything happens for a reason, right? I do think everything happens for a reason. But again, we say this toxic positivity, and I say it only because if you're putting things on a Band-Aid and not actually looking at it. So please pay attention to this. If you're putting a Band-Aid on something and not actually like letting that wound breathe, like you are literally just covering it. Okay, guys, like that's really important to understand. These terms are not bad terms. It's bad when you're not doing the other stuff of it, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I'm trying to think in my own life where I got like came from. And I think I'm kind of with Onika in the sense that like I look back at my life and it was more in the sense like we didn't talk about emotions. We didn't talk about our feelings and spirituality. I didn't come into spirituality like even knowing what the hell shadow work was. And I did this work for 10 years before I like, you know, I've done this for like
same.
Yeah, same. Like we didn't talk about this. Like we didn't talk about anything. Yep. So I think toxic positivity was what I was raised in for so long and brought up in like this world without realizing I was. So it's interesting when I'm like, what's an example? And I'm like, God, I think there's a lot that I'm almost like, I don't necessarily know one specific one to give you. I can say for myself, I don't know, is this toxic positivity or not? You guys are we're in the day of age where social media is like so prevalent. Okay. Like so prevalent. And, I think you'll definitely see people doing the work. You'll definitely see people not doing the work, and you'll definitely see people in between. You'll see like a lot of mix of toxic positivity. Mm-hmm. And I know we hear the words of like, you know, positive light. We hear the words of like good vibes only. We hear the words mm-hmm. like all these things, right? I mean, there's all about it. I don't know why I keep thinking about the word comparison for me, like comparing. I don't know if that's a part of toxic positivity, but I also keep thinking of comparing right now. Like, I don't know. Okay, got it. I know why.
That's real.
It is real.
Because
it just depends on where you're coming from.
Yeah, I think because the guys are saying something about comparing, I'm hearing it right now and I'm like trying to sit here on talking. And I think they're like, because when you mix toxic positivity with your spiritual journey, you're comparing yourself, right? It brings in that harmful comparison and you're like, everybody's handling things the right way. Everybody's perfect. Everybody's wonderful. Everybody's on this high path. What the hell is wrong with me? Because this spirituality stuff is bringing up shit I don't want to look at. It's making me feel like crap. It's bringing up all this stuff. And I'm like, am I wrong? I must be bad. I must be like, you know, I must be doing it wrong. I hate that, right? I must be doing it wrong because everyone else is rainbows and butterflies. And I'm like, this fucking hurts. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's real, Isabel. I think that's totally true.
Yeah.
Comparison. Who said it? Was it Oscar Wilde? Comparison is the thief of joy.
Yep.
You know, like, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, listeners, for bearing with me as I was trying to figure out where I was going with that. Cause I was like, they keep repeating a word and I don't know why I'm hearing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hear you. Really, I think what you were saying, Isabel, to his end was like, I'm going to jump on this bandwagon so I can fit in. So let's do the yoga. Let's get the rose quartz and the amethyst, which all this shit does work, right? But I do it. But it's almost like you got to do it, though, with the intention to empower yourself and heal versus fit the fuck in. And that's what it started becoming, super trendy, right?
And performative. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Performative. And you're like, even my own colleagues till this day, they're like, let me tap in. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. Just tap in. What are you doing? Right. And they love me because I'll say it and they'll start laughing because they know they're doing it. You know what I'm saying? But
let's make a show of it.
If you want to be dramatic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I can make it's like, all right, like you got some healing to do because you want attention, but okay, I love you. Right. But it's just. It makes me laugh because it's so overwhelming and so much that I see of it that I have to laugh it out.
It's a big reason why I fell into the trap too, that I wasn't spiritual because I moved the way that I did, and I didn't sort of like sell all my stuff and right. buy a cauldron and start, right. you know, yeah. dressing in a certain way and, you know, like doing all of this stuff for show. But I think I grew up in my soul knowing
yep.
that this was a path, but too afraid either that it wouldn't be accepted. And then when it started becoming popular, I was like, oh, I resonate with some of this, but I don't look like that. And that I think is that Isabel, what Isabel was talking about, that comparison that I thought, you know, I think it's why it took me so long to admit a lot of the things that I'm just talking about now. And I feel afraid, I'm going to say this out loud, that I even feel afraid talking about it because I feel like, oh, people are going to think that I'm phony or I'm not real right. because I never talked about it before.
Totally.
And some people will, and I can't give a fuck about that. Right.
Right.
But that's what I think happens when you do like comparison and toxic positivity. It creates this narrative that things are supposed to look a certain way.
Yep.
And I think it stops people from being able to acknowledge a path that they're on that could lead them to, you know, a lot of peace.
Yeah.
Right. Like a lot yeah. of peace and a lot of joy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's beautiful. And I think at the core of this podcast, this is why we created it. It's like, we're not here to like hate on white people. No, that's not it. It's more like, we just want to show you like what spirituality, the turn spirituality has taken that we've seen in the past 5-10 years. And we're trying to bring it back home.
And what it looks, and how it can look different.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah, for sure.
It can look
sure.
different for every person. Isabel, I think, said that so well last week. Like, it doesn't have to look all the same for Black people. Like, we don't have one monolithic experience, right? And we can all have different paths that we walk, so it can look different for everybody.
I think yeah. that's the beauty of it, is that it does look different for everybody. And I think that's the beauty of it when you really understand being in this work, in this field. It's that I tell people, like, nobody should gatekeep spirituality. Nobody should gatekeep it. Because the thing is that, you know, Mal has her own vibe. Onika has her own vibe. I have my own vibe. And the beauty of this is that sometimes you're not a fit for somebody. Sometimes it doesn't, you know,
totally.
That's not my vibe, or, hey, I'm going to send you to so-and-so, or sometimes I go over yep. here and I hang out with this person, and then sometimes I'm over here and I'm with this person, because it's just like, you guys, there's not a competition in this game. It's not a game,
yep.
but you get what I'm saying. And it's like, that's the beauty of it. And like going back into what Nika was saying about spirituality is defining it for yourself, but understanding the flow of it, understanding that there's going to be, it's okay. Right. I'm sure, Mal, you got people that are like, we are Mal followers 100%. Like, we only have Mal, like it's all Mal, right? It weirds me out, by the way, listeners. I love you guys. I'm so thankful for my clients. I am not hating, but it's so crazy when people are like, I got my book, and they literally have special journals like just for me. Like, I keep all of my notes and sessions here, right? And I'm like, go explore, like go explore, go over here and try this, go over here and try that. Yeah. So have fun with this. Like, I want to bring the lightheartedness into this a little bit. Like,
yeah,
have fun with your spiritual journey. Like, like, you guys, don't make it so like I have to, right? Because even in the rituals of it, right? Like the full moon ceremonies or all of these different things, like have fun, create your own ceremonies, create your own rituals, like try different
Years,
try different retreats, like play with it, because play, creativity, and intuition, high vibe, same vibe. Same vibe. Okay.
It's
right there in the same line. Mm-hmm. When people are like, I'm really struggling in my intuition, I'm like, when's the last time you freaking played? Like, when's the last time you
played? Girl, right? Yes.
So I want to say that in the sense that, like, for you guys, when you guys are, okay, this podcast was really heavy. It's just that you guys, I think the thing is that, one, don't feel bad for who you are. Don't feel bad for the things that have happened or circumstances in your life, or even, like, don't feel shame in that. you guys, like, they're just erasing shame, but come back to it so that you can address it. Come back to it so you can heal it. Acknowledge your feelings, because your feelings are definitely always, like, when I talked to you guys last week and we talked about the body being intuitive, like, your feelings are the first thing to tell you something's off. Address it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't shove it in the closet. And the rest of it, I don't know. Have fun with it. But be aware of that toxic positivity for sure. I mean, Mal made a good point where, like, I forget what you said right now, but it made a trigger with me where I was thinking about, like, how I stepped into this and I was in this work for so long before I kind of found out what actually I was doing. I know that sounds really crazy, but yeah. I had a mentor who I worked under. And I say this in the sense that it was my voice, a lot of it. It was my words. It was a lot of, like, I was doing a lot of teaching without realizing I was teaching. But you know what? I didn't look the way. I didn't embody the persona. I mean, she used to make fun of me and, like,
you're the ghostwriter.
Yeah. She was like, yeah. You're ghetto. Like, so I couldn't be, I was so unwelcomed or felt so, like, not a part of this, even though I was a part of it. Yeah, it was bad. Mal knows. Like, Mal will tell you, like, when I first met Mal, I was apologizing left and right for speaking. And so
I know her old mentor. And when I first met you at an event you came to, I was like, I kept saying, I know you. She's like, not, you've never met me, but our souls have met many times. Right. And then I was holding a circle, right. Facilitating a circle. And she had stuff to say. And I'm opposite of her mentor. So she's like, I'm so sorry for interrupting. And I was like, whoa, are you okay? You can talk. That's cool. And I was like, oh, when she told me who she came from, I was like, oh yeah. That whole thing was bypass, right?
That's why I'm like, it's hard for me to explain it. Because, like, I lived this for like 5-6 years. Like, the whole thing.
But you poor thing. You were like, you had like PTSD, like, out loud. I was like, oh shoot, we gotta help her.
And that's a thing, though. I think that's so real. It does happen. Like, you do come from, you know, you have an experience that was harmful. It's like you gotta heal and then decolonize on top of that. Like, it's just, it's like a lot.
Do you guys want to know something crazy?
It's like a lifetime.
Do you guys want to know something crazy? Let me tell you this.
Yeah.
You guys are going to trip out on this. Okay. This is a little fun stuff in this podcast. She locked my guides up. So
what?
So I had guides that were like light beings. And this is before light beings. When I say light beings, guys, basically what I mean, it's a body of spirit that's just light. There's not a face. I want to explain it. So it's just a body of light, right?
Right.
But my body of light, right? And when I say body of light, doesn't mean it has to be white light. It can be blue light. It can be yellow light. It can be whatever light. Okay. So because it didn't embody white light, it was bad. Because it didn't have the white light and it was a different color, it was bad. So literally, like, when I left her, all of a sudden for those listeners, I can see, I can feel, and I can hear. And all of a sudden I had these new guides that I was like, oh my gosh. But they were like, we're not new. Like, we're not new. She had, like, literally, like, at one point, I remember we did a meditation and she had put them in a cage and had told me, like, they're bad. And so
that's black magic, though. That's black magic.
Well, she did a lot of black magic and I didn't realize that till after I left. And so then all of a sudden when I left, that's when I, like, learned how to do light language and I learned all these different things because they came to me and
or you remembered.
Some of these were like I am Native American. Some of these were my Native American guides that again, she was telling me, like, my Native American guides because they were bad. Like, oh, you have, you know, this spirit animal or you have this. And, like, it was just, I thought what I did was bad. So when you talk about decolonizing, I was like, so I had to go and, like, do all this extra work. It's funny now.
Wow. But didn't it make you that much more powerful, though, knowing that difference?
100%. Yeah. And useful to help other folks and seeing that in other folks, too. Well, that's the blessing in disguise, right?
Yeah. That's where I'm at now. Now it's like I get to teach this and talk about it. And it definitely was a part of my journey. Again, not spiritual bypassing, guys. Like, it definitely was a part of my journey.
Crazy. Like, when people come and they're like, I want to heal. I'm like, you ready? It's ugly. So I'm like, it's ugly. Like, you all right? Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think people think healing is pretty. And I'm like, if that's what you think, you're in for a rude awakening, but I'm going to be gentle AF. Because I get it.
I don't think you are. But I love you.
I'm not really. I'm like, no, you're not. You're not gentle, but
I love you. You're like, I'm just telling you, like, hear it. Look, you can do what you want, but this is like, I don't know how many times I've heard that from you. You can do that, but like, you're like,
Melanie, there is nothing gentle about you.
All right. I take it back.
You're kind and loving, but gentle?
Yeah. Dude.
When Mel's guide stepped in, though, I love you, Mel. And I think because I know you, like, I know you know you, you know, I know you, like, as the home girl. Like, and so when her guides, though, step in, I think it's the funniest thing. No offense. I love it. Don't be self-conscious. But all of a sudden, she has this beautiful voice. And she's just like, you know, look at your, we have Michael here. And it's like, girl.
Like, regal. Yeah,
it is true. Our voice does.
No, but that's even when you know I'm channeling because it's like
my voice changes.
She sounds
too.
Different.
Yeah.
But that's some funny shit. I love that. But hey, I have to point out. Look how you and Onika are matching once more.
Oh, I know. God. I actually noticed that. I noticed that too. I don't know.
And I'm the opposite again. But I compliment. Look, it's that yin and that yang.
I got black.
A little. Yep. I'm like, I love this shit. I swear. We don't know what we're wearing, but I mean, we're all like psychic. But yeah, funny, huh?
That's funny.
I still get very wary talking about that.
Totally. Here's the thing too.
About
when I was
we'll have to talk that about
just
my
claiming who you are.
Yeah, I see how I won't even say it. I'm like, you know, about my intuition.
Intuition.
Oh, intuition. Yeah. I think there's all things that we all kind of like. Honestly, like, here's my thing, and I'm gonna be honest. Like right now, talking about my past and my mentor. It makes me feel still like I still don't have a place.
Yeah.
I still feel like I don't have a place somewhat. I still feel very like, who are you to speak forward right now? Like, I still get like sitting here with you guys. I love you. I can be real and raw, but there's a part of me that's like, it's still hard. Like, I think there's all.
Yo, maybe next week we talk about imposter syndrome, right? We talk about that. That's a good topic because right before we started recording, or maybe when we were recording, I was like, you guys, I got so many DMs and texts and y'all are crickets over here. I'm like, it's because you don't believe in your gift yet. And I know this through going through it because I used to get so many people questioning, are you a real psych? Are you real? I'll never get that question now because I know I'm real. Does that make sense? You are what you attract. So if you own it, you really own it. You're going to get praise everywhere. People are going to look at you with light. It's funny. I'm like, it's really an inside job. Everything's an outside job. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we should talk about that next. That's a fun one. Yeah.
We're both Isabel awesome. And I just got real quiet. We've been like, we were both just like, what?
I you know
done.
What?
Okay, my we're done. We're done now. Let's go. Done. Bye.
Goddesses. That's why I'm like, what is happening?
All right, we'll talk about imposter syndrome next week.
That's funny. You know what?
Healing in action, everyone. Healing in action next week.
Next week, I have a session with a client of mine. She's a client, and she does these. She did this book called I think it was called Soul Archetypes. I think that's the name of it. And different archetypes that she's kind of gone through, and kind of does it. But she does these special therapies around the archetypes that maybe you have blocked, or you need to open, or you need to do it right. So I was meeting with her one day, and she called me out on you guys, and she goes, I find it interesting because we now the session's done, we're just talking. She goes, I find it interesting that your two co-hosts have posted about your podcast and you haven't posted it once in your story, not in my profile, not my story profile. And I was like, well, I'm waiting. I want to wait till launch day, so there's actually a purpose that I'm doing that. And she was like, or are you hiding yourself? And I'm like, hey, this is your session. But she's like,
look at me.
Yeah, I was like, no. She was like, she's like, yeah, I think that. I was like, so what are you trying to say? She's like, there's an archetype that she has called the expander archetype. And she goes, you haven't stepped into your expander archetype. So next week, we're going to do it tomorrow, but she's sick. So next week, we're meeting. And I said, okay, I'll trade you this for this. We're trading sessions for something.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, all right, I'm going to give you astral therapy, which is what the name of her therapy is. to help you expand into your expander archetype. Her astral therapies are very amazing and powerful. I do have to say.
I need her phone number.
Yeah, she's really,
yeah,
really great.
I was like,
I need to. So she's going to expand me so that she's like, see, that's what's holding you back. And she was like, you're ready to be seen, but there's a part of you that's like not letting people see you.
Huh.
Let's open it. And I was like,
it takes time.
Yeah.
It takes time.
But she's
I can't wait till we are able to like bring people on. Like when we get to like panel people.
Yeah. I'm excited for next week because I think I'd like to talk about when I first met Mel. And
that whole
experience and how Mel said things to me. And I was just like, I don't know what she is talking about. Like,
I'm laughing because I thought from my perspective, you're like, yes, I know. But you're like, that's crazy. You guys, I see you so deep. Like,
I know.
Well, okay, next week's going to be
Mel's next week. But I love you, Mel. You say things just the way you see it, and that's it. I mean, and that goes back into us telling, like, I think began when we were saying, like, oh, yeah, this whole journey, like, you heal, right? You got to heal and things. It's not pretty, right? And so when I left my mentor, then I went through the divorce, and you saw the divorce before I saw the divorce.
Rough.
Yeah.
It's rough. Yeah. I look at you now.
All right. So what do you guys want to tell our listeners before we leave? What do you want to let them know? Quiet.
Just be you. Be you. No, it's just important to be yourself. Someone hit me up yesterday and she goes, I want to put some of my, she was writing her bio for a website and she goes, it sounds like so much trauma. I'm like, fuck it. Just tell your story. Like, be you. Relatability is cool. And that's your superpower, being you.
I would tell people to embrace the mess.
I love that quote that you do.
Yeah. Embrace it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's your logo, right?
Yeah, one of them. You happen to join Embrace the Mess.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good one. I don't even have anything to say on top of those two. I'm like, yeah. What are you laughing at? Like,
right, I would say the same if I was third. That's why I try to go first, because y'all be taking it. I'd be like, wait, same. same.
I'm like, ditto.
Embrace the mess.
Okay.
That's it.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening.
You
guys, go. See you next week. Yeah, go subscribe on Instagram and go watch us on YouTube. So, all right. Bye.